Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, October the 30th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, a Kent taxi driver calls for tougher regulation amid claims people from outside the area are picking up fares. Find out why there's a life-saving twist to Halloween events in part of the county. And we've been finding out how a Kent hospital charity is planning to mark its 30th birthday. But first, a decision's been made by the rail regulator, which could open the door for international trains stopping in Kent again. Eurostar services, as you may know, haven't called at Ashford or Ebbsfleet since the pandemic. Well, Virgin Trains have now been given permission to use the Temple Mills depot in London, which is the first step in a process which would allow them to go through the Channel Tunnel. Well, first on list, let's hear from Ashford MP Sojan Joseph, who's been keen for trains to call at the international station in his constituency again. He's been speaking to Lucy.
I am delighted that the rail regulator has reached this correct decision. I'm really pleased with the decision, and this is what we expected. This is going to break the monopoly of one operator. And it's good for Britain, it's good for Kent, and it's good for Ashford.
And obviously this is a really long-running campaign that you've been involved in. Is it a bit of a victory today, or is there still quite a long way to go, do you think?
There is a long way to go, but it is a victory today. I have started this campaign from the day one I arrived in Parliament. It is a victory. I'm really pleased with this outcome. It's good for our economy, not just for Ashford or Kent. This is for the whole country. It's great. I don't know if you heard Richard Branson the other day said, I will be running direct trains from Manchester. So it is good for the country. So it's welcome news for Kent, Ashford, welcome news for businesses who want to, we were really concerned about losing that international connectivity. So we can something there to look forward now.
What would be your message if you could speak directly to Richard Branson? What would you say about how important it is that these trains stop in Kent?
I did meet with a few officials from Virgin Train in the last year. So my next step will be maybe meeting or speaking to Richard Branson. So I'm sure he's already aware of the importance of these international trains returning to Kent stations. I'm looking forward to meeting him or talking to him or even getting on to the first train from Ashford with him.
Now, it's understood Virgin Trains will launch international services through the Channel Tunnel from 2030, so under 5 years away. But at the moment, there's no guarantee they will stop at Ashford or Ebbsfleet. I've been chatting to Tudor Price, who's the chief exec of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
Competition is absolutely something that we've been calling for. We've Eurostar held a monopoly. I think they failed to really meet the obligations that they made to the businesses and community of Kent for many years now. And so competition was absolutely the right way to go. So we're pleased in that regard. What we're not overly enthusiastic about is the fact that within the statement, the Office of Road and Rail specifically discounted the significance of operators saying whether they're going to stop in Ashford and Ebbsfleet as part of their proposition. And they made it quite clear that that was not part of their consideration when reaching their decision, which is very frustrating because obviously we've made a case for both the sort of financial viability and also the economic impact that we'll have.
And they've only mentioned at the moment one operator, but do you think this will open it up to more in future? Is that the hope? Or is this kind of like baby steps in a way?
Yeah, so I think to be fair to the ORR, that they had a limited capacity at the Temple Mills International location. So they were really trying to see what they were making a decision based on how many could get into that space and what would be the most economically viable and impactful. Interestingly, there is also a call out on the government website for additional space. So they're looking for expressions of interest within the London area who, from investors who might be interested in sort of going into partnership and developing. So they are obviously proactively looking for additional maintenance capacity that will then allow further competition onto the line. And I think that makes more of an interesting case then for the prospect of return of international services to Kent, because they'll be looking to see what markets they can try and capture. And we know there is a market here in Ashford and in Ebbsfleet. So, you know, there is commercial interest. But it's not enough at the moment. Again, as far as tactics are concerned, you can see that any operator is going to say, well, you know, if the government wants to pay for all this, you know, we don't mind, you know, waiting for that. So, yes, and not an unexpected tactic.
How does your campaign move forward then? Now that this announcement's been made, what happens next?
Well, it doesn't stop. That's the good news. We continue to move forward now. So, if anything, this is a win, really. You know, we've been asked to be competition, so this is a win. It's a small step, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. What happens now is we continue to pressure government because government can see that there is an economic benefit to getting these services reinstated. So, there is a justification for their contribution or investment in getting these stations open, which may well then be very much sort of behind the scenes on the cards for these operators. But of course, we've now got another operator to engage with, and we can work with them to talk about what it is that they would be looking for to really make the perfect conditions for them to stop back here in Kent. And I think that will then, in turn, have a knock-on effect to Eurostar, who will think, well, actually, yeah, you know, we've got to share the market, so let's try and see what else we can do. So, yeah, plenty of work still to be done, lots of time to do it, unfortunately, but yeah, we'll get there.
Well, we'd like to know what you think about this story today. You can read it in full and leave a comment at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Attraction bosses insist safety is their top priority after a harness strap snapped on a bungee trampoline, leaving a young girl with bruises. The 10-year-old had been jumping on the attraction at Dinosaurs in the Park in Swanley when it happened during half term. She was checked over in hospital. Bosses have told us their first aider provided care at the scene and a full incident report has been requested. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A hearing's heard how a grieving man told his mum he was going to the beach to talk to his father just hours before he was found dead. A cordon was set up after Toby Foster from Ashford was discovered unresponsive at the seafront near a culvert in April. The 29-year-old's cause of death was given as multi-drug toxicity. The inquest opening heard his dad had passed away the previous December. A full inquest will take place in November. A suspected thief who allegedly attacked a police officer in Whitstable has been arrested following a car chase. A man was seen loading a large quantity of meat products from a shopping trolley into a vehicle near the M&S Food Hall on Prospect Way on Monday. He drove off following an altercation and was tracked by officers to the A249 at Detling before being detained near Junction 5 of the M2. A 29-year-old remains in custody. Now, a Dartford taxi driver is calling for tougher regulation after claiming almost three quarters of people working in the town are from other areas. Roger Clark works at Bridge Cars and says he's seen business plummet since COVID. He says drivers are travelling from as far away as, would you believe, Wolverhampton to ferry passengers around the county. And he reckons it poses a safety risk. Well, Roger's been chatting to our reporter, Alex Langridge.
My business is near enough gone. I used to have anything from 10, 15 cabs that I used to rent to taxis because I'm a hackney carriage type driver. And now I've got literally nothing. It's near enough gone, completely gone. And when you see all these illegal things happening and you're trying to work within the law, we are, you know, proven before now that even the councils don't work within the law. And I can, you know, I've definitely proven that once or twice anyway. But it's about time that this taxi and private hire business was sorted out properly. In other words, properly, you know, rigged, properly licensed, properly checked, made sure that the drivers that are in them are the drivers that are meant to be in them, not from somewhere else or whatever. It's very hard to sort of say exactly what to do, but they should do something. And the mayor of Manchester has actually gone online stating that he would like to see it all changed back to as it used to be, where each council controlled their licensing and each council controlled the vehicles in that town. which would obviously make it back to a reasonable, safe thing to do. To allow what's going on now, you hear so many things of people doing things that this not being checked as well is definitely a very unsafe one.
Private hires from other areas are allowed to take pre-booked jobs in the town, but they aren't supposed to pick up from taxi ranks. Dartford Council say they do undertake enforcement action by checking that drivers have bookings.
Kent Online reports.
Tesco delivery drivers in Kent are going to be given body-worn cameras following a rise in thefts and violence. Supermarket bosses say they're investing in the tech to protect staff and crack down on retail crime. It's unclear exactly which stores will be part of the initial rollout. One of the five Kent Reform councillors expelled from the party has announced plans to set up a rival group. Ashford member Bill Barrett has criticised the leadership at the county council after being kicked out following a leaked video of a meeting which showed boss Lyndon Kemp-Caron raising her voice and swearing at her colleagues. He says he's in the early stages of creating the independent reformers at County Hall. A skills hub has opened in Gravesend to train the workforce needed to build the new Lower Thames Crossing. The idea is to recruit around half of all those required for the project from within 20 miles of the site. The road tunnel will link the east of Gravesend with Essex in a bid to ease congestion at the current Dartford Crossing. Next today, and as part of Halloween celebrations at Dover Castle, visitors will have the chance to give their deep dive into history a bit of a life-saving twist. English Heritage have teamed up with the NHS and they're going to be handing out testing kits so you can find out your own blood type. It's in an effort to get more of us to donate blood, with less than 5% of the eligible population currently signed up. Neil McCollum is from English Heritage and he's been chatting to Kate.
So we're working with NHS Blood and Transport on this kind of one-off initiative to which will be happening on the 31st of October at a number of our key sites. Here in Kent, that'll be Dover Castle. And it's to give out blood type self-testing kits to allow visitors to our sites to go and find out their blood type, but also hopefully to encourage them to sign up for giving blood in the future. And obviously that's a big thing for the NHS now and always will be. And obviously we want to try and encourage as many people as possible to take this initiative and sign up to give blood in the future as well.
Now, what can you tell me about the blood testing kits? How do they work? What will people need to do?
So quite quick, quite easy thing to do. They could take the kit. They just need to just give themselves a bit of pinprick. And obviously they can then send that off and they'll get a result back fairly quickly in terms of what their blood type will be. And obviously then a lot of people in the UK don't know their blood type. I didn't know my blood type until about 6 months ago when I first gave blood as well. So I think it'll just get that curiosity with people that they can think, okay, what can I do? Where can I go and sign up to give blood? And what does that mean to me as well?
Now, I believe the event at Dover Castle is a quest. Is that a children's hunt that's going to be going on there? What else do we know about the event?
So during Halloween, we run kind of events at a lot of our key sites, including Dover Castle. And obviously they have a spooky family theme to encourage as many families to come out in terms of the half-term holidays as well. So there'll be kind of, you know, there'll be some, it'll be a spooky quest that people can follow clues around the castle, and then there'll be some characters that will be interacting with visitors as they come around. So this initiative with NHS Blood and Transfusion Service is part of that to go alongside that activity.
And how will how will people find the blood testing kits? Are they going to be visible? Are people going to be handing them out?
It will be very prominent. So as you go into Dover Castle, there will be some branding and a kind of a tent with the branding on it, and our staff alongside the NHS staff will be working together to give out these kits to make sure we get as many of those out as possible.
Kent Online reports.
A gas company insists it's taking measures to stop HGVs causing traffic chaos on narrow lanes during roadworks in Maidstone. Part of the A229 Lewes Road near the Wheatsheaf is being dug up for emergency repairs, which is having a big impact actually on surrounding routes. Well, SGN say they're installing additional signage and working with a sat-nav company to try and get lorries to follow the correct diversions. As the Medway Hospital charity celebrates its 30th anniversary, they're trying to raise money to buy new wheelchairs. The 30 at 30 campaign has a target of £30,000, enough for 30 wheelchairs. Now, it's as hospital feedback showed a shortage was causing delays and stress for patients. Kate's been chatting to Donna Law, who's the head of the Medway Hospital charity.
Wheelchairs are a real need for people who come into our hospital. If you walk into our main entrance and you need a wheelchair and one isn't there, you can literally see our patients' hearts just go, they sink, they go, oh. Because they know they're not going to be able to get to their appointment on time. It causes lots of stress and lots of worry. So for our 30th anniversary, we're launching a campaign called 30 at 30. So it's 30 wheelchairs in our 30th anniversary year for £30,000. We are trying to get more wheelchairs on site because our population is growing. More people come to visit. Our opening hours are extended. So we just need more chairs in different places across the hospital. Earlier this year, our charity actually bought 30 wheelchairs and we thought they would make a difference, and they have made a difference. But our hospital's got even busier. So we just need more. And we just thought it was a lovely campaign to do for our 30th anniversary. All the numbers stacked up, the needs stacked up. We've had feedback from patients just saying, you know, please can we have more wheelchairs? And we want to make that difference, and that's what a charity can do.
You mentioned it there, you know, it's people think about wheelchairs are for people who can't walk, you know, they've maybe broken a leg or something like that. But it is about making sure patients can get from one place to another as quickly as possible, but also as comfortably as they can.
Absolutely. And these are big, sturdy wheelchairs with nice padded seats. Our hospital's a big site. It's we've got you can go from brown zone to green zone, and it can take me 5 minutes to walk, and I'm literally zipping down the corridor. So if somebody struggles with their mobility or is uncomfortable walking, a wheelchair actually can just be that little extra that can make their visit more enjoyable. Nobody wants to come to a hospital. You're there for a reason. But if we can make that experience better for you, that's what we want to do.
And can you talk to me about the cost of your average wheelchair? And I mean, I'm probably like everybody else. I'd never really put my mind to it before. How much they cost, and are there things like maintenance fees and upkeep of a wheelchair?
So the standard, what it's called a porter's wheelchair, which is the big wheelchair that somebody can push, it costs £1,000. So we're raising that £30,000to get the 30 wheelchairs. The initial ask is just to get those 30 wheelchairs so that our patients can and their families can use them.
Everyone who donates can also have the chance to name one of the chairs. A train carriage that was used to transport the body of the unknown warrior to London after the First World War has been put on display in Dover. The Cavell van has returned to the town's historic cruise terminal one for the first time since making that poignant journey in 1920. That's where it began its trip to Westminster Abbey more than 100 years ago. A Kent pub has gone on the market for just £250,000 after the landlady decided to retire. Kim Truelove is calling time after pulling pints for almost 20 years. It's thought the Eight Bells in Canterbury is the cheapest on the market right now. A timber-framed windmill in Margate has been given listed status. Draper's windmill on St Peter's footpath in Dame Valley was built in around 1843. It's now Grade 2 star listed, which means it's in the same category as other significant buildings, including the 1930s Dreamland Cinema and the clockhouse at Ramsgate's Royal Harbour. And a new state-of-the-art lynx enclosure has opened at a Kent Animal Park. Bosses at the Wildwood Trust near Canterbury say the space will allow them to breed the cat-like predators which were once native to Britain. Work here could help efforts in the north of England to reintroduce them to the wild.
Kent Online Sport.
Well, England suffered a heavy defeat to South Africa in the semi-finals of the Women's Cricket World Cup. Dover's Tammy Beaumont was out first ball as they attempted to chase a victory target of 320 yesterday. They fell 125 runs short. And if you head to the sports pages of Kent Online today, you can read previews ahead of FA Cup first round action involving some of Kent's clubs this weekend. We'll have more on that in detail in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the very latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.